All right, so it's been a while.
It's not working. It should be.
Does anybody have any questions before we start about anything, huh? If you can't hear me, you can move closer. There are empty chairs because my voice is usually not very strong. Do we have any questions from everything we've heard so far about NIPSI from last year? All right, there are three questions from Brisbane. Someone asked three questions from Brisbane. If we can hear them one by one.
So, question one. The example of the two brothers having the same Yerunda and one brother goes for confession, then tells the other brother to go to Yerunda, then the thoughts can start, suspicion, etc. If there is no nipsis, this happens. My question is, if there already exists an issue between the two brothers and the thoughts, etc., are based on reality or on something that has happened between them, would the advice be that the brother should still use nipsis irrespective of who of the two brothers is at fault?
Can you repeat it?
Sorry, I didn't remember.
That's right.
The example of the two brothers that have the same yerunda that go to confession, and then the one brother tells the other to go to yerunda, and then the thought starts and suspicion, etc., if there is no nipsis. My question is, if there already exists an issue between the two brothers and the thoughts, etc., are based on reality, on something that has happened between them, would the advice be that the brother should still use nipsis irrespective of who of the two brothers is at fault?
Okay, so my understanding is that there are two brothers. Something happened between them, and they go for confession, and the one goes first, and the other one has thoughts about what the first one will talk about. Eleni, is this correct?
You didn't use this example in the past.
Have I? Okay, I can't remember. I can't remember. Anyway. All right. So should the second one, or should both use nipsi, thinking that the other person, the other brother, will talk to Yerda to the confessor about the other, about themselves? What do you think? What does everybody think about this situation? Any thoughts? Any opinions? Did you understand the question?
So is one brother getting suspicious because the other brother has told him you should go see your brother?
Is this what it is? I think they both go to see Yerda, and the one gets suspicious about the other talking about him. Huh?
No. Sorry. It's Marco goes to see Yerda, and then he visits his brother and says to his brother, Yerda asked to see you.
Okay.
And the second brother gets the thought that Yerda doesn't love me, that Yerda has something against me, that there's like a bad thought goes into the second brother's head about what was discussed or what motive Yerda might have about asking the one monk to call the other to come and see him. And I think the question might be that if there actually is something going on, should you still
all right. Is it Eleni? Yeah, that's okay. All right. So, any thoughts about that? Anyone?
Just go. Don't think of it too much. Just go. Yeah. What's the worst that can happen?
Yes. The problem sometimes is that I think we see our Yeruda as someone who is up there, and we are someone here, or we see Yeruda as someone who's very distant, and we have to respect him. Of course we have to respect him, and of course we're not the same. But if you love someone, and if you 100% saw that this person loves you, and if you're 100% that he will never do anything to hurt you, why would you worry even if he has the wrong idea? You can explain and everything will be sorted out. It is the same in a married couple, and this is important. Sometimes people get thoughts about their partner. Has this happened? Is this the case exactly? Or is he or is she trying to make it look a bit better than what it originally was? And we get thoughts against the other person. Of course we should use Nipsey, but it's not just Nipsey. I will use Nipsey and the thoughts, they go away if I'm suspicious or if I think that something is wrong. It's not just that. I think before using Nipsey, we need to know the other person, and we need to trust the other person, and we need to communicate with the other person. If there was no communication in the past, then it means that the trust is not secure, because without communication, we can't establish a platform of trust. And that's very important between two people that they are married or they are going to be married. If there is no good communication, there will be thoughts. And then you can use Nipsey, but there is no communication. It's not going to work. You can use Nipsey until the cows come home. It doesn't change anything. So in this situation with the two brothers, I think that the first brother has to go and tell the other brother that Yeruda wants to talk to you. But the second brother, who should love and trust Yeruda, shouldn't have any thoughts. What about if anyone or my brother told him anything against me? Because even if this was the case, it doesn't make any difference at all. We need to be comfortable in our Yeruda's hands, and we need to trust him 100% and trust his life, our lives, in his hands, meaning that regardless what he might tell us, we need to be sure that this is for the benefit of our soul. And if we trust him and if we have such a relationship, we will never have thoughts like if someone has told him something wrong, because we will explain ourselves, he will believe us, we trust him, and basically there is no issue there. Any thoughts on that? In every relationship, if there is no trust, it means that the love is not real. Because if we trust someone, then we don't worry about what others might tell us about him or her. It doesn't make any difference. I know my person, I know my wife, I know my husband, I trust them, I know my Yeruda. It doesn't matter what everybody else might say to me. I know deep inside me that they will never do anything to hurt me. If they told them something against me, it doesn't make any difference. There is no anxiety in the whole situation. And of course, then I will use Nipsey to not trouble my thoughts. But if there is trust, Nipsey is way easier. If there are suspicions, Nipsey is very hard. So yes, of course we use Nipsey, but there is also, it's also a matter of trust and love and leaving ourselves in our Yeruda's hands. Anyone? Anything? Okay. The second question.
The example of the brother sitting in the monastery and thinking to go to the desert to be by himself, to be able to communicate with God better, etc. This advice, your advice, was that he should avoid these thoughts, use nipsis, or otherwise that could lead him to leaving his monastery. How would he know if this thought or desire is not from God but from the devil? There have been similar situations where ascetics followed this course and became saints. How can we distinguish between the two and make the right choice?
Anyone? Any thoughts? If I think the way that everybody thinks here, no one should be talking. So maybe someone should say something. All right, just a minute.
Would it be if they got a blessing from, say, the abbot, wherever they're at the monastery, that might help? Yeah, that's it.
That's correct, yes. Sometimes we have a thought and we get excited from the thought because we turn the thought into a fantasy, thinking about how beautiful it would be if we accomplish the thought. And then we make dreams and then we fall into a trap because the actual thought was not a beneficial one. And it happens very often, and it doesn't only happen to monks. First of all, if someone is in a monastery or in a small brotherhood to go to the desert, he needs the blessing from his abbot or yeruda. Otherwise, he can't just get up and leave. That's basically disobedience, which is not a virtue in monasticism. But the fathers of the church, they say for someone to become an ascetic, he should be a perfect monk amongst others for a number of years. Otherwise, the devil will eat him alive. And the reason is because when someone lives with other people, his ego gets humbled. So someone will say something, you will say something. There are situations that you have to deny yourself, otherwise the occasion will not sort out itself. So when you live in a kinovio, you practice how to not disturb others. And to do this, you have to cut small pieces from yourself. It's the same within a family. If you don't learn how to deny yourself, your husband or your wife, they won't be happy with you. It's a cooperation. Everybody has to give up something. It doesn't work otherwise. So if the monastics, they don't learn how to deny themselves within the monastery, then when they go to be by themselves and they start praying, they will pray the way they want. They will think that they are very spiritual, and at the end of the day, they will get deluded. And it's a very, very dangerous thing for their souls. It's not a good thing. And this starts from the thought that tells us, I can be something more than what I am without accomplishing 100% success in the level that I am already. There is a similar situation with people that at some stage in their lives they were thinking to become monks and then they get married. Or the other way around. People that they become monks but at some stage in their lives they were thinking of getting married. So the devil will put in our minds the opposite thought of what we have. If it is a monk, the devil will show him a nice family and will give him the thought, look, you could have children, they would have been spiritual, you would have the chance to go and play with them in the playground and this and that. And the monk, if the monk cultivates these thoughts, he will become miserable. the other way around. If someone is married and he has some disagreements, or basically after a few years, it's obvious that you have to sort of keep denying yourself in the marriage, otherwise it doesn't work. And that's life. That's the same at work, everywhere. So if there are a couple of difficulties, he might start thinking, or she might start thinking, if I was a monk or a nun, it would have been beautiful. But that's not the case. We can't look back, and we can't cultivate thoughts that they are not reasonable. And this is where a spiritual father comes very handy. If he has experience, he will tell us straight away, kick out these thoughts and have a little bit of nipsey. Otherwise, the devil will eat you alive. A thought of a husband who wants to become a monk within a family can destroy the family. And a thought of a wife who is thinking that she should follow everything that the church does, and she goes to every vesper possible, and she doesn't cook for her husband if she doesn't work and the husband works, and she neglects her husband for church, it's not going to work. And this is not what God wants from us. We choose one path, one or the other, and we focus there. If we're in a monastery, we stay in the monastery. If we have the thought of going to the desert, we ask for the blessing. If Gerdas tells us, my child is not for you, it means that my child is not for you. It doesn't mean anything else. But if we ourselves, we get up and leave and do what we think will make us more spiritual, there is a big possibility, like 98%, that it's not going to work. And the saints that they left their monasteries and they went and they started something else, there are very few exceptions that we have, and that's why they're saints. And they were saints even before they left. And usually they live with under obedience, unless there is a big temptation that kicks them out, because we have situations like this, like Gerdas Hieronymus, Saint Hieronymus Simonopetritis. He was the abbot of Simonopetra. He never wanted to leave his monastery, but there was this difference with the Kalanta back then, the old Kalanta and the new Kalanta, and basically his fellow monks, they kicked him out. They sent him to the Metochi in Athens, to the place they had in Athens, to the church in Athens.